your say. 1-300-872-911. Macca's Talking Cans. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland on 846-4CA.
Interesting update here. It's in the Courier Mail on, well, the plight of tourism still. It reads here that the tourism industry's struggle to convince international visitors to come and say good day has been highlighted by new overseas arrivals data showing even New Zealanders, even Kiwis are not rushing back to Australia. Bureau statistics figures showed short-term international arrivals slipped to 56% of 2019 levels, that's pre-COVID, in January, down from 60% December. It's heading the wrong direction. Instead of soaring, it's seemingly creeping backwards. In contrast, the number of Aussies heading overseas remains steady at just under 80% of 2019 figures. So anyway, it goes on to say, although New Zealand was our biggest source of visitors with 65,000, still 30% shy of pre-COVID, which was 92,000. I won't go on with the return with the details of it because I'm going to talk with Tara Bennett. There's an interesting little article in yesterday's Cairns Post. Port Douglas tourism leaders have crossed the ditch in a bid to reignite the region's flagging relationship with New Zealand holidaymakers before key flights resume later this month. Now, this is Tourism Port Douglas Daintree data showing the number of New Zealand visitors dropped here by a staggering 80% on pre-pandemic levels. Prior to COVID, New Zealand delivered 105,000 room nights to Douglas Shire annually, second only to the United Kingdom. Anyway, Tourism Port Douglas boss Tara Bennett said New Zealanders had been slower than other tourists to embrace overseas travel in the post-pandemic era. I'm going to ask her what they're up to get them back. Apparently, they've been very energised up there. Executive Officer of Tourism Port Douglas Daintree, Tara Bennett, on the line. G'day, Tara.
Good morning, John.
Isn't it frustrating for people in tourism? They have so many issues. Just trying to stay above water, you know, in recent years, trying to stay in business and thinking, well, as soon as COVID's out of the way, there'll be a surge, but it's a very, very slow surge in some cases, isn't it?
It is. It's lucky we're a resilient and optimistic bunch. And we certainly have a lot of confidence that this New Zealand market will return in great strength. It's just going to take time. I mean, we need to keep in mind that New Zealand opened later and they have taken a lot longer. Like Australians, they were first travelling within New Zealand. And so we estimate they're about 6 months behind where we were. So right now is a great time to get over to New Zealand to get the industry excited about selling Australia, and they are. So it's looking very positive going forward.
You don't think they've just gone off us?
No, gosh. I mean, they've had a rubbish summer. They've had dreadful weather, and Queensland, particularly Port Douglas and the Daintree, is a hot destination for them. So once we see aviation kicking back in, so the Air New Zealand flights come back into Cairns later this month, first twice a week and then the frequencies increase, that's really where the opportunity lies, and we hope to be able to, you know, build frequencies going forward.
Now, on where was it on the weekend? I was up at Palm Cove and was talking to Nick at Nunu. You know a little bit about this, don't you? I mean, this bloke is a magician in the kitchen. And obviously somebody's had the bright idea and said, well, you've got this bloke resident in North Queensland, actually in Cairns, actually in Palm Cove, doing some of the best food in the world. Let's get the word out to New Zealand. Tell me about this.
That's right. Now, I missed the media event. However, everyone's talking about Nick's performance. I was just chatting to some colleagues from Brisbane Tourism and Sunshine Coast, and they're still raving about the way he promoted the foodie scene, particularly in tropical North Queensland. So it really helped us dominate a Queensland-wide event that was for media from all over New Zealand and influencers. And he just brought it to life, the tropical nature of our climate and how spoilt we are with our food bowl. So what a personality. It was a great way to get our message through in a different format.
So you didn't get a chance to taste the proceeds?
No, I missed it. We were holding a standalone business events lunch where we had 20 conference and incentive organisers, which had been sort of organised prior. So personally, I missed it. However, the feedback has been incredible. And at the same time, we were getting business events planners excited about the destination. So we were really covering it on all angles.
Where did it all happen, by the way? Where?
So the Tourism Events Queensland had events in Auckland and Christchurch, while we held ours in Auckland and Wellington because there's more planners there. So we've covered three, I've personally covered the three cities over the week, which was great.
Did you get a warm welcome?
Oh, the weather was stunning. The Kiwis were so excited to see us. Oh, you know, there's people I've been working with for 10 plus years that are getting back into the industry after 2 years in alternate areas. So it was a real coming together of the tourism family, but also training a lot of people who haven't sold the area previously. So I think, you know, we've really done the hard yards to try and get that happening. And we just launched a campaign yesterday that's in retail outlets throughout New Zealand and Australia promoting Port Douglas. So we're really trying to get people at lots of different levels.
Have you ever met in your life, in your travels, friendlier people than New Zealand, South Island? As they seem to be the most friendly people on earth.
They are. I couldn't agree more. Such a delight.
Yeah.
But in my job, I'm really lucky to meet lots of fabulous people, I have to say. But being in New Zealand, it really reminded us of how special the relationship is between the two countries.
Exactly. Now, while I've got you here too, I just got to get a quick update. The ferry's back in business again, and we've had the odd update earlier in the week, but I presume people will be heading back this weekend. Obviously, it would have been a nightmare for people in business for that week or whatever it was. I think it was a bit longer, if I remember rightly.
Lots.
Everything is tickety-boo from now on, or what's the situation?
Yeah, so the ferry has had a good going over. So the good piece of news is that it's good to go and it's been certified. The bad news is that, yes, people lost a lot of additional business because of the extension of the closure. So I really feel for our operators north of the river that have had a couple of closures. And, you know, it's hard work to get people travelling and have confidence. But going forward, people should absolutely have confidence in the ferry because it's just had its five-year safety check and everything's in place.
Now, we talked just briefly about that sluggish return of Kiwis. Hopefully that'll turn around with the flights coming on stream. The other end of the scale, it says here, Chinese visitors, only 10% of what they were pre-COVID, even as the borders have reopened in mainland China. Can you give us an idea of when that cohort's going to be back to anywhere near its pre-COVID levels?
So the figures coming out nationwide is that we've finally seen leisure holiday makers exceed visiting friends and relatives. Every market that's opened has kicked off with VFR, we call it, the visiting friends and relatives, and it takes a good 6 months for that balance to change. With China, there is a lot of demand, but we still have to see aviation open up. I mean, Cairns won't be seeing direct flights for some time, it's expected. So it's going to take time to rebuild, but there is a lot of confidence for both China and the Indian markets going forward. So it will be a bumpy year, but long-term, things are looking incredibly positive.
We've got a big upgrade of our international terminal here in Cairns, and some people are saying, well, that's all wonderful news, but if you haven't got demand for people wanting to travel overseas, what's the point? I'm just looking at the figures. Now, Singapore Air, I think their numbers of services are up to five or about to become five a week or whatever, but it does say in this article in the Courier Mail today, behind pre-pandemic levels are Singapore at 60% of January 2019 figures. That's not encouraging for Singapore Air. I'm hoping we're going to see demand out of Europe, for example, and other parts of Asia via Singapore Airlines very soon.
Absolutely. And that's why it's such a critical link for us. The airport works incredibly hard to get those frequencies in place. And for us, it's absolutely about the connections through to through to Europe and the UK, but as well as Asia ports as well. So it's so many pieces of the puzzle to put back together post-COVID. But it's a very united effort that's going into trying to get everything back to where it should be. And if not greater, I mean, I think the upgrade at Cairns International Terminal is very welcome, and hopefully have even greater connectivity going forward.
You picking up the odd foreign accent as you're walking around Port Douglas these days?
Absolutely.
What
Absolutely.
Sort of
a lot of Americans, a lot of Americans, a lot of Europeans.
How are the Americans getting here?
Well, it surprised me actually, but they'll be coming via Sydney. There's good capacity, and United Airlines have just recommenced their flight into Brisbane from San Francisco. So, yeah, it's not far off, I think, to see a really big pickup in international numbers.
Always good to catch up. Thank you, Tara.
Thanks, John.
It's Tara Bennett. She's the Executive Officer, Tourism, Port Douglas, Daintree.